Okay. I'm going to read a verse. And I came across this in my reading in Psalms this morning, and it's part of what I was going to talk about. That God just wants to do something else, I think. I'm going to read Psalm 56. And I'm going to read, David is writing, he's writing out of the circumstance of when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And so he's been captured by the enemy. And he's trapped. Doesn't see a way out. Doesn't know how he's going to deal with it. And out of that experience, he writes these words. And so I'm going to start in verse 8, which is sort of in the middle of all of that. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 5 so you get an idea. They twist my words all day long. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps while they wait to take my life. Will they escape in spite of such sin? God, bring down the nations in wrath. You yourself have recorded my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your records? Then my enemies will retreat on the day when I call. In the last part of verse 9 in this version says this. This I know. God is for me. I can't get past that. You guys have been going through so much with Ricardo. This I know. God is for you. And God is for Ricardo. God is on our side. Even when we're trapped, even when we don't know how this is going to work, even when we're going through the toughest thing we've ever been through, God is on our side. Your ladies have had your knees replaced. I can't imagine that. Yeah. Yeah. But been on an operating table. This I know. God is for you. God is for you. No matter what. God is for you. Talking to Isis this morning, she's telling about her mom and praying for her mom, and her mom is fine during the day, but at night she has sundowners and goes into dementia, and this is such a stressful everything. But this I know. God is for you. And God is for Mary. And God is for your sister. See, this I know. We need to be able to say that. We need to be able to deal with that. Whether we're dealing with your brother and dealing with the surgery and coming through and how he came through with that. Or Joe and Sherry. Listen, Joe and Sherry. Listen, Sherry. You're going to have this treatment again this week. Let me tell you something. This I know. God. You're going to have surgery tomorrow. Three times I've been on the table, it gives me the willies just thinking about it. But I want you to know, Jim, tomorrow, when they get ready to do this, God is for you. Amen. See, we all have a story. We all have a story that we're telling. We all have a story that's part of God's greater story. His greater story is leading us to the second coming of Jesus. But we've all also had our individual stories, and our individual stories have involved family issues and difficulties in the family and all those kind of things. And there are many here that have gone through broken homes and lost families and all of that. Our difficulties have to do with finances and dealing with those things and overcoming those things in our past. Our difficulties come from our jobs and the stress in our jobs and the stress and all of that. Our difficulties come from taking on the worries of the world and just allowing ourselves to be so upset by the political climate and the hatred in the air and all of those kind of things that can get to us. Our upset comes because we have to face tough decisions about where we're going to live and how we're going to survive and all of those kind of things. But we need to remember, we need to go back to Psalm 56. In the middle of all of that, this I know. Say this with me. This I know. God is for me. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I don't know what's going to happen every day, day by day. None of us do. But we need to be able to be so anchored, so anchored, so anchored in the Word of God, so anchored in the promises of God, so anchored in remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross, so anchored in that, so anchored in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives, and so anchored in remembering the cross, but living in the power of the resurrection. And I think sometimes that's where we break down. That's where the breakdown is. That's where the difficulty is. I understand the importance of the cross. I understand what Jesus did when he died on the cross. But do you want to know that for the first 300 years in the church of Jesus Christ, they didn't talk about the cross. They talked about the resurrection. It wasn't for 300 or 400 years that they began to focus and refocus on the cross. And we need to keep that focus there on the cross. We need to remember what he did for us. But we don't remember what he did for us in order to keep reminding ourselves, oh, we're just sinners saved by grace. We are sinners, but we are saved. And God has taken our old hearts, given us new hearts. Hearts that are for him, hearts that he can live into the power of his Holy Spirit. And we need to start living in the power of the Spirit every day of our lives. We need to start living in the power of the resurrection, because sometimes we forget that. And when we forget that we're living in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day, we forget that God is for us. You know? And we need to get there. We need to find a way back to that. I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what that means exactly for you, what your trail is, what your path is that takes you from where you are, wrapped up in the worry and wrapped up in the stress and wrapped up in the anxiety and wrapped up in all of those things that the enemy wants to pour upon our hearts and keep us immobilized. How do we get from there to that place where we're recognizing that God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, is living in us and wants us to live for him every day and wants us to remember every day that no matter what else happens in this world, Almighty God is for us. And we need to make it personal. Because even David, he wasn't standing in front of the congregation. He was standing there in front of his enemies who had captured him and were finding ways to torture him and make his life miserable. And he was saying, this I know. God is for me. This I know. Do you know that for sure? See, that's what we need to understand. That's what we need to understand, that God is for us. I mean, you're here today. You know, you are here today. Sometimes churches just get caught up in this idea, and we need to pray for people that, you know, Joanne's not here because she's got a cold, and, you know, there's others that are fighting the cold and all that. We need to pray for those who aren't here. But you know what? You are here. And you are here because God wants to tap you on your shoulder. He wants to kneel down beside you. And he wants to whisper in your ear, I love you. You're my child. I know what's going on in your life. I know the fear in your life. I know the stress in your life. I know the anxiety in your life. I know what's going on. I know the physical battle you face and you're fighting every day. I know that. But I want you to remember, I love you. I'm for you. I'm for you. See, that needs to be communicated to our hearts. Because we get that. We understand that. Because you know what it's like to know that you're loved. You know what it's like to have some person that you fall in love with and you know, you finally get to the point where, I remember for Kathy and I, you can go down to Seal Beach and walk between Long Beach and Seal Beach, and you get to a certain place there on the beach and you turn and look and you can see the power plant there and the big tower from the power plant. There's a particular spot right there on the beach, and that's where, for whatever reason, I got up enough courage to ask this woman to be my wife, and she said yes. She said, I'm for you. Remember that feeling? See, now imagine God, Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, whispering to you in almost that kind of intimacy, yes, I'm for you. See, the question is never, is God for us? The question is never, is God on our side? The question is never, God, where are you? He's right there. He's living inside of you through your spirit. He's walking with you. He's being there. The question is never, is God on our side? Is he for us? The question is, are we for him? Isn't that the question? In how we live, in the decisions we make, are we for him? Are we living in such a way that's going to give him glory? Are we living in such a way that's going to advance his kingdom? See, what really started this off this morning was in Sunday school. We studied the passage in Sunday school. It was an absolutely wonderful passage where Jesus healed this woman who was bent over. So I talked about that a little earlier. But you know what Jesus said after all of that? He gave these two parables. He said, you know what the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God like? You know, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, tiniest of all seeds, and yet you plant it, it grows in this beautiful tree that gives shelter and birds for the birds of the air and all of that. And then he says, and he asks it again, what is the kingdom of God like? It's like a woman who puts a little tiny bit of yeast in a big ball of dough, and it changes the whole thing. And at first you think, well, how does that relate to what happened with that woman? Well, it relates like this. The kingdom of God advances one small act of love and kindness at a time. So when we ask the question, we know that God is for us. See, that's what David is saying. God is for us. God is for me. God is for me. You need to say that. God is for me. But are you for God? How do you be you for God? Does that mean you have to do some big thing? No. What it means is, if you want to advance the kingdom of God, one small act of kindness and compassion and love at a time. That God can do miraculous things with a little bit of yeast, with a little tiny mustard seed. He can do miraculous things. When we do one small act, God can use that to advance the kingdom of God. So when he asks us, he says, I'm for you. Remember this, I'm for you. Are you for me? Are you for me? We can go, yeah, well, I remember, you know, how many of you remember when you were baptized? When you came to Jesus, I remember when I was baptized. How many of you remember? You remember that? I remember that. You know, it was September 26, 19-something. 1966. Far, far away in a galaxy, you know. But we remember that time. And we say, well, yeah, I'm for you. I remember that. Well, you know, you being for God now started there. But you being for God now is about being present with God in your life every day. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it? To be present with God and let God to be present with you. But that means that whatever happens is an opportunity. You're going out to be that mustard seed, to plant that mustard seed, to insert that little bit of yeast that's going to change the whole situation. See, sometimes it just takes that. It just takes a little bit of that act of kindness, a little bit of that act of love, an act of compassion, a little bit of something you do for something else that changes the whole situation. That's what God does. That's his business. That's his business. So he wants to constantly remind us, hey, remember this. This I know. I'm for you. This I know. God is for me. God is for me. God is for me. We get that. How do we be for him? That'd be real easy to go off on, well, we need to go to church. Well, yeah, you know, that's part of it. But that's not the issue. The issue is every day, everywhere we go, every act of kindness, every act of compassion, every act of love, every act of forgiveness, every act of grace, every act of kindness plants that mustard seed that God uses to advance his kingdom. You know, we put it in other terms. We put it in battle terms, you know. stand up for Jesus. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we do all of that. We use battle terminologies, and the scripture uses that terminology that we are the army of God. But the army of God really only fights two battles. Fights an internal battle that we fight in prayer. You read in Ephesians where it talks about putting on the whole armor of God and all of that. And all of that is about standing for God in prayer. We fight the battle on the inside so that we can fight the battle on the outside. And we fight the battle on the outside, simple acts of kindness, love, compassion, sharing the gospel, telling people about Jesus, all of those things. That's the battle we fight out there. It's internal. It's external. It's how we prove we're for Him. He's for us. We don't want to make this to be so totally selfish. It's really easy to go down that road and just talk about the fact that no matter where we go, God is for us. And that's good. We need to know that. We need to remember that. We forget that. When we go down that road where we know that this I know, God is for me, as David said in Psalm 56, verse 9, when we go down that road, we're for Him. We're for Him. A lot of people are going to go to work tomorrow. And for some of you, that's a really good, wonderful thing to do. For others of you, that's a very stressful place to go. But you're there to plant mustard seeds of grace. And mustard seeds of compassion. Mustard seeds of love. You yourself may be the yeast that changes that whole situation that God uses to change the very nature of where you are. You become the kingdom of God wherever you are. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then He said, you are the light of the world. And you got to love that connection. He said, I am the light of the world. And then He turned around and says, you are the light of the world. And you don't put a lamp, light a lamp, and then put the bushel over it so nobody can see it. You put it where it can be seen. Where is light seen? In the darkness. Sort of a good news, bad news joke, isn't it? You know, God wants you to shine your light, but He's going to shine your light. You've got to be in a dark place for your light to shine. Because if your light is shining and you light a candle in here, nobody's going to notice. You know? So God doesn't light us on fire so that we can all come together and burn down the church together. He lights us on fire so that we can go out into the darkness of the world with His acts of love and compassion and shine for Him. This I know, God is for me. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, God is for you. Back that up with this I know, I am for God. Okay? Take it from Him, you give it to Him. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you talk to, you be for God. The world isn't for God. You're taking people, God, to people who don't want to hear about God. Don't want to know about Jesus. Don't care. And you may find them at points of heartbreak in their life where they can listen, but most of the time the world doesn't care. It's hostile. It's called a battlefield for a reason. It isn't about how other people react. It isn't about them. This isn't about them. Their reactions, hopefully, will be receptive to the gospel of Christ, but their reactions are, to a degree, totally irrelevant to the fact that God is for you. You need to be for God wherever you go. And when you do that, His kingdom is advanced. Pretty straightforward. Pretty simple. I like that. God knows I'm a simple dude, and it's got to be straightforward and simple. So this morning, two things, and we're done. This I know. God is for me, and He's for you. This I know, I am for God, wherever I go. Okay? This I know,
God is for me. This I know, I am for God wherever I go. And if you can come to that way, your intimacy with the Father will go deep. Your courage to face a hostile world will grow strong. And your power of the Spirit, as you live in a dark world, will shine like the light of the sun. Father God, thank you. David's reassurance to himself in that song strikes a chord in our world today. Let us remind ourselves, let us read these words every day if we need to, where David said, "This I know, God is for me." No matter what happens, God is for us. And help us also to remember that as he is for us, we are to be for him. Which means we're going to do good deeds. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to do those things that help and give blessing and give grace to others. That you have called us to that. You have called us to love. And it's by our individual acts of kindness that none of us are insignificant. None of us all of us have meaning and purpose. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we have meaning and purpose directly related to you and to the Son of God as the light of the world. You are for us. We are for you. Let us live by that this week. We pray in Jesus' name.